San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
Welcome to It's Your Money and Your Life. We're coming at you with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. And if you download the app for 760 KFMB, you can hear us live there. And we also are on iTunes if you search the title of the show. And I typically introduce the co-host of the show, Richard Muzio, CPA extraordinaire at this time, and family office guy, of course, serving high net worth families. But he is at a family obligation tonight at a graduation of a very close family friend. So it's just going to be myself and 12 other guests. So it's not going to be a marathon. It's going to be a sprint. So pay attention. But it's going to be a great show because we're at the magnificent 6th annual Barry Goodnight dinner, and I'm going to introduce right now the founder of the event, and we're at her home and in her yard tonight, and her name is Michelle Lirak. How are you, Michelle?
Really good, Joe. It's glad to be back. It's glad to have you back. This is three years in a row of award-winning radio here at the Barry Goodnight, so thanks for coming.
Yeah, you keep piling on more guests every year, so we may have to expand the show to an extra hour next year. I don't know.
I don't know where we're going to put them.
Well, speaking of which, I mean, you started out, 6 years ago, and you only had about 70. Whatever inspired you to do this in the first place?
I mean, so after I quit my practice of law in 2008 and went to work on a goat farm in Sonoma, I a lot of things happened there. But one thing that I noticed was that there was this really cohesive food community there. And I didn't feel the same way in San Diego, even though I knew that we had more farms per capita, more organic farms per capita, more family farms per capita than anywhere in the state and most of the country.
Like 7,000 or something.
And so
right?
It occurred to me, what we need to do is get everyone together. So let me invite all the chefs I know who care about sustainable food, all the farmers I know, food activists, and a handful of food writers, sit around the same table and have dinner. Mm-hmm. And that was the idea, and it was small, and each year it's gotten bigger and bigger, and we meet more farms, we find out about more people who care about farms, more food activists, and it's just grown, you know, organically from this small, disorganized gathering to something that's wow.
I tell everybody, you put the farm back into La Jolla Farms because this place is a veritable farm. Are there going to be farm livestock here tonight in addition to your own?
Yeah, we always, you know, we have some. We work with some young farmers, little kids as young as 10. And they bring their animals show them. It's fantastic.
A kid sold his goat for $1,500 last year,
yes,
which is about double what he normally gets. So
actually, there's a great chef, Hannes Cavan, who's mm-hmm. a chef at the Carnitas Snack Shack mm-hmm. in Smokehouse Kings. He, several years ago, bought an animal from one of the kid farmers that was here, and mm-hmm. each year has bought a different one. Mm-hmm. And I think he spent over $10,000 over the last several years to support these young farmers, and I think hats off to him.
Well, we're in a magnificent setting, like 6 acres. I mean, this is a magical night.
It's just a farm dinner.
Well, it's outside. You know, everyone's at a big, long picnic tables. It's about, now this year it's like 200 and what, 50-ish?
Yeah, 250. We can't get any bigger. We don't have any more room, you know, between the animals and the farm and the vegetables, you know,
the chefs, they all volunteer, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you, let me tell you about this dinner. It may be giant, you know, 250 people here as guests and probably 250 more here helping in some capacity, but it is truly a communal event. Literally every farm that comes gives what they can, some produce, some meat. We have winemakers who donate, beer makers. Everyone in this food community gives something to come to this dinner. The chefs work for free. I mean, it's truly extraordinary.
Yeah.
I don't know of another dinner quite like it.
How many courses tonight? It's usually...
we did get a little bit crazy for a few years and like 13 courses, but we realized that's impossible. Most people would die before they finish that meal. So we have a little bit of a cocktail hour for 2 hours that's happening right now, and people get to try the food, and then we have a 6-course meal, which is a little bit more manageable.
Yeah. And by the way, we're not totally live tonight. We're actually about an hour ahead of ourselves because the guests decided they would rather be at the dinner than doing live radio at 7. So, but anyway, we've got two more important guests here, Michelle. We have Troy Johnson, who's a well-known restaurant critic, a food writer. He's a host of the event tonight, or the MC for the second year in a row.
Also a Food Network star. I don't know if you know that.
Right. So he's with San Diego Magazine, and he's with the Food Network. So, Troy, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Well, you've been coming to this for several years now, and you've been MCing. You know, this will be your second year.
Yeah.
Or is it says the last two? Is this your third time?
This is my second time.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So what brings you to the event and what keeps you coming back?
You know, I didn't come here for a couple of years because I thought it was just going to be some dinner. I thought it was just a dinner, you know, where everybody was just going to go and have a feast and, you know, really nothing was going to get done. And I think the first time that you come to this dinner, you realize how much progress is actually behind it and how much unity happens at the dinner. And that's what made me come back. Mm-hmm. Because as a food critic, we fetishize food. Mm-hmm. You know, we're part of the problem, to be quite honest with you. I have to take pictures of so much food. I have to fetishize meat. There's a massive meat consumption problem in America that we need to address at some point in time.
Have you put any weight on since you started being a food critic?
a treadmill is probably my biggest office tool. Yes. I have to 2-bite rule because otherwise I'd have to be 450 pounds and block out the sun from my loved ones.
Yeah.
You know, but the point about this is that I know a lot of people want to do a lot of good things in San Diego, ranchers, chefs, progressive people, but there wasn't one place where they actually could come together, make hand-to-hand, face-to-face relationships, and actually form relationships that get stuff done.
And these are all the big names in food in the whole county here and beyond. And Baja, too, now. Tonight we're reaching out to Baja.
Not just tonight. For several years, they've had both sides of the border. Mm-hmm.
But I think their wine is finally making a statement over here, right?
It is.
The Baja wine.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But let's talk a little bit about the foundation itself now that's grown out of this, the Berry Good Food Foundation. You're on the advisory board, or are you on the board itself?
I'm on the advisory board.
Advisory board. So why are you supporting it, and what do you hope to accomplish?
Well, I think it's great that it's grown from, you know, a dinner and a cause into an actual foundation that's going to be going out into the community and having dinners on farms and teaching people and reaching, you know, teaching people about local food and why it's important. I mean, we have a massive broken food system in America. Mm-hmm. It is really great at creating, you know, like, you know, really cheap calories that you can buy in the liquor store and your life can end a lot shorter. But we don't have really good small food communities throughout the country. San Diego being one of the most, you know, prolific agricultural places in America did not have a unifying body. And I really think that BGFF, the Berry Good Food Foundation, could, you know, actually be that. Could be that unification. Kind of like in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure when they struck the guitar chord and it unified the entire universe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. That's this.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how I would put it.
Michelle passed a note. passed a note earlier. She said in terms of food security, we're more in food insecure now. There's a larger percentage of people food insecure than there were in the 1960s.
Which is a horrifying fact, it's true, right? And we're also, 20 in the world in terms of food systems? That's a crime considering the, you know, amount of food we have available.
And most incredibly, I mean, it took till 2015, tell them, Michelle, for the FDA just put the sustainability.
That's right. For the first time in the guidelines, they're actually contemplating sustainability when it comes to what the food pyramid should look like. And that's an incredible change, right? You know, this is the other part. We haven't really talked about it yet. We can obviously talk about health, and I think Tana's a better person to talk about that. But let's talk about the environmental impact of what we call giant agribusiness farming, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, our bees are dying, our butterflies are dying, our waters are poisoned. You know, these are not good things. You know, we got to keep this world going to last for a while, don't
right.
we?
Yeah, bees and butterflies, those are the ones that actually pollinate your food.
They're very important.
Yeah, we only have 2 minutes left in this segment, so I want to get over to Tana real quick because I know she's here from Kaiser Permanente. So Tana, tell us about yourself real quickly. What do you do there?
Right. So I am Tana Laura with Kaiser Permanente, and I work in our government and community relations. As a part of that, I get to work on public health partnerships, community partnerships, and investing, you know, some of the things that we believe at Kaiser in total health beyond our doors into the community. I'm really excited to be joining the foundation to help kind of connect the healthcare community with the food community. I think you'll see here tonight, you have everybody already connected in the food community.
Well, Kaiser is very much into prevention, right?
We are in prevention.
Preventative medicine.
Absolutely. 100 years ago, our country was facing infectious diseases as the number one killers. Today, we're looking at obesity. We're looking as a major driver for type 2 diabetes, for cancer, for cardiovascular disease, and a number of diseases related to even mental health and depression. So for me, I'm personally passionate to be here. It's also a great thing to partner on behalf of my company with the foundation as well to see how we can connect the healthcare community to the food community to address sort of the the needs in our community related to food, our food systems, and educating our community all the way from when they walk in the front door at kindergarten all the way to college in some of the programs that are going to be done with the, with the foundation.
Well, you're a valuable member of this board. So anyway, Michelle, we have about 1 minute left. So let's...
Well, the last thing is, and I think Tana touched on it for a second, which is what we're talking about doing with this foundation. And you're going to talk to some other people who are either involved in the foundation, on the advisory board, et cetera. So bottom line is outreach to the community. Now, we've created a community, as Troy said, among ourselves, of those in the food producing or activism world. But now we're going to reach out. We're going to have programs at some of the food desert areas in the city. We have already started having informational dialogues at universities and other and similar forums to sort of change and open the minds of young change makers. And we're also teaching some what you'd call fundamental home ec, you know, skills. Basically, look, it's easier to source food locally if you know how to cook it, how to cook it easily, how to cook it for the whole week, how to preserve it, how to save it for later. This is what seasonally eating is. Look, our grandparents understood this, right? But somehow in the last 50 years, we've lost this skill set.
Yeah.
And we want to try to help people get it back in a way that's affordable and accessible to them. And the last thing we're going to do is we're going to do dinners on the farm. And there's a lot of people doing really fancy farm dinners. But I got to tell you, what we want are farm dinners, whether educational and affordable and accessible. So if the foundation has to come in and subsidize them in some way, that's what we'll do, because we want to reach a new audience.
That's awesome.
Preaching to the choir doesn't get us there.
I know more and more schools are, tearing out lawns and putting in gardens. But anyway, thank you so much, Troy Johnson, Michelle Lirak, and Tana Laura, for being our guests this segment. We got to take a little break right now. We'll be right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life right after this.